Did you know we live stream the recording of this podcast every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook, Rumble, Twitch, Kick, and X? Come join us.
Welcome to the Boomer Bunker Sunday edition, because I'm dying. So get me in and get your fill of John Domingo, because it's the beginning of the end. Things are starting to fall apart. Kidney stones.
I can't imagine.
Can't poop. Constipation.
Has that been resolved?
Oh.
Also, good evening, everyone. way to join the show.
I'm sorry. And with me is my lovely co-host, who's not dying, thanks. The Duchess.
Not yet, but good evening again.
the fecal fiasco, as Red Wizard Ate My Baby says.
Hey, Adam.
So, okay. I don't even know how to start the show, except the reason I wasn't here Thursday was because I hadn't pooped since Sunday. And let me just tell you something. Like some ladies I heard, they don't poop for like 5 days. I don't know how you do it. I mean, I was mean as a motherfucker. I just don't know how you do it. And I threw everything. I like the kitchen sink. So what I did was I went into TikTok and I put in constipation Manjaro and I searched, and oh my God, I was like,
one nightmare after the other.
Yeah, there's like one lady's like, oh yeah, I strained too much and I gave myself a hernia and it went through.
Oh my
and
God. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. So I'm sitting there and I'm like,
ease that out.
Did I do that?
Do I have a hernia?
Right.
You would know.
So I had to fit, because I couldn't take it anymore. I had to go in and say, okay, is it cancer? Is it like, do I have an impaction where they got to go in and dig it out?
Around.
Yeah. So they got to stick a hose up there.
Oh, ew.
You know, I've never had that done before. I've never had an enema before. So I don't know. Bob says liquid magnesium filtrants. Listen, I was taking all kinds of magnesium. I took this thing called Ducalax. I took three of those pills.
They work.
Yeah. Well, they didn't work at first. That's what I'm saying. I got shit over here. I got a bottle of Miralax, right?
Okay.
I've got liquid IV, which is supposed to help you hydrate.
Oh, I bought some of that. Yeah.
Right. I got
for other reasons.
Right. I got GasX. All right. There's a triple thing of magnesium complex that I have. All the stuff I was taking, I should have been able to push a cinder block through a garden hose. I mean, there should have been nothing stopping anything.
That's a visual. I don't know if I can cast that right at the moment.
Right.
Jesus.
So I get in there, and then they're making me wait. They go down and they x-ray me, right? And I'm like, they're not coming in here. See, Mike says, take a plumber snake to that ass and loosen you right up. Hey, all right, I'm just going to say it. I even soaped up a finger and went in myself.
Did you have a glass of wine?
No.
Is it like your stranger?
Well, I went all the way. Listen, I went all the way in three knuckles and I didn't feel anything. So off to the emergency room I went.
I need an adult.
Yeah. And then, So then I'm waiting and waiting and it's getting ready for shift change at 7 o'clock. And I'm like, this one nurse is just not doing anything. She's going to pawn this off to some poor other person who's going to have to come in here. I said they were out there playing rock, paper, shitter, trying to figure who's got to get
the fact. You're welcome for that.
Yes. Yeah.
You're welcome for that. Dean wants to know, how's the prostate?
Prostate's fine.
Adam says, I hope you bought yourself dinner first. And Mike asked, did you buy yourself dinner? I guess after your knuckle.
I was afraid to eat anything. So, and I'm an idiot.
Wait, hang on. I'm going to say hello to Devin. He said, it's the first time seeing us live. Hello.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Glad you're here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. So the one thing was, and I didn't even put two and two together, because I don't have like cravings for stuff anymore. Oh. So one of the things I eat, because it's very easy, is because you're supposed to have a lot of protein when you're on Manjaro, is cottage cheese. So she says to me, do you eat a lot of dairy? I go, no. I said, mostly I eat cottage cheese. And she just turned her head like, did he just say what I just thought he said? And then she goes, you realize cheese is in the word. And I went, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She goes, how much do you eat? And I go, well, 24 ounces a day at least. And she goes, yeah, we're going to stop
that. That's a whole container.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's 660 calories. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's going to... Okay. That explains why. Explains some things. You need to drink way more water and eat more fiber.
I was drinking a ton of water. I was doing it.
64 ounces is not enough, my friend.
I know. I was drinking. So anyhow, she says to me, listen, there's nothing that stops, you know, you have a little bit of a blockage, but there's gas. And as long as you have gas and as long as you, you know, you have it a little bit because it was like, you know, you felt like all day you felt like you had to go and you would go in the bathroom and it was like having the butt dry heaves. What? Yeah. It was like your shitter, your sphincter was going, and nothing was happening. It was like opening and closing. Anyhow.
So your ass was dry heaving.
Right. So on my way home from the emergency room, I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop at Taco Bell and get like three tacos.
I need the tacos to move all the Dugalix down through the system. Okay. And get any coffee with it too?
I got a big cup of coffee. There and then I went home and took three more Dugalix pills.
Oh, no. So you wash that down with the
Taco Bell. Yes. 6 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and I'm like, I stretch and I'm like, oh, I think I have gas. And I did. And then, yes, Brand X already covered this.
We know,
Bob. Yes, we know, Bob.
Not everybody
I was
listened.
There, Bob. Don't you think I know what Brand X covered?
Anyway.
So I get to the bathroom and voila, it was, and it was so.
The gates
then,
opened?
The gates opened. Yeah, because, and boy, I tell you, there's nothing better than I was like, thank
See
God.
See your shoes?
Oh, I don't know what I said. Listen, I just didn't pay attention. I said,
just kept flushing. Just keep flushing.
Just kept flushing. So, yeah.
Well,
and we had a show ready to go Thursday.
We did.
And I felt bad.
Someone was all corked up. So,
So let's go and do this.
That's a twofer for you. Was that both in April? Well,
kidney stones?
Well, between the kidney stones and the poop.
And the poop.
Or lack of.
Right. That's why I said I'm dying. This is it. You know, when you start having these problems and you're just dying.
Well, I am glad you are back to normal. You should have weighed yourself afterwards. And you
I'm like down.
Well, I meant from pre-poop to post-poop.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like women who weigh themselves after they have a baby. Like you end up losing. Oh, jeez.
Bob says, Deuce can blow me. Well, Jesus Christ, Bob.
I don't know.
I don't know what Deuce did to you.
I know what Deuce did to him.
What did Deuce do?
Because now he called.
Oh, you were his favorite podcaster.
Yeah. Hey, listen, that's just to stick it to John.
Yeah, it's could just anybody but me.
Yeah.
Because Deuce really knows that I'm his favorite podcaster. He knows
it. He says that.
He just won't say it. That's what it is. Anyhow.
I'm glad. Glad that's put to bed, so to speak.
All right. What is going on in these colleges? Have we stopped all this nonsense yet? Or is it they still having the protests every day? Is this still going on? Have they given up yet on this Palestine shit?
I hear they've branched over to Rutgers now.
Oh, they're over at Rutgers now?
Yeah.
What I like is now that they have these frat boys coming out, the white boys are like, all right, we've had enough of this. Let's go in there and troll these.
Oh, they are trolling too, man.
Right. So they're in there and they're going, USA, and they're singing a Star Spangled Banner. And then the left is all there like with their terrorist scarves. I'm loving it. I'm 100% loving it.
Someone's giving it back to them. I mean, they're not going to like it either way. So.
North Carolina University at Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. They had taken the flag down and put the Palestinian flag up.
No, I think they were trying to, weren't they?
And then the frat boys came in and surrounded it. And then they sang the Star Spangled Banner. And then I saw some of them, they got some of the pro-Palestine, anti-Israel protesters. They started leaving, and the whole quad was there singing, hey, na, 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 hey, goodbye. And I'm sure.
That song's convenient for generations.
So the guys from North Carolina, they, someone set up a GoFundMe for them. It's over $500,000.
That's crazy. That's so crazy. I don't know what they're going to do with that money.
Well, they're supposed to be giving it to charity. They're not going to have a $500,000 rager. Could you imagine with a $500,000? You could get Taylor Swift.
She wouldn't set foot near frat boys.
Okay.
That's not her crowd. And that's not who she's supporting politically.
Mm-hmm. So the ultra-right beer is now throwing them a party. They're donating all the beer to these guys here.
All the legally aged college kids? Sure.
Yes.
Absolutely they are.
Look, I've never seen so many white boys in my entire life. Did my heart proud.
And a Bud Bugger says, charity is the name of a stripper.
That's right.
Calling to the front stage, charity.
Charity. Yeah, I've had it. Yeah, well, even our addled, demented president is now saying, you can protest, but you can't ruin things. Did you see what they did to UCLA? Did you see what they did to the campus?
Disgusting. Well,
spray painted them.
The one thing I did notice, and it's funny because I heard it also referenced on Brand X, is I've had discussion with other people and Paul as well. We were watching it and they're pulling everything down. And Paul's like, look at all that plywood. It's so expensive. Like, all he could notice is like, that's 3/4-inch plywood.
Where are these kids getting plywood from?
Because George Soros and all his people.
Well, the other thing is
funding these kids.
These guys are
college students.
Right. They're idiots. They got plywood. So what did they do? How did they try to keep the police out and everything? They took plywood and they zip tied it together. And then the cops went up with a knife.
Wall?
I think they did.
How funny. Now walls are okay.
Well, right. Well, if you're going to keep out the white people, then you can build a wall.
Yeah, it's fine.
Right. To keep out the illegals.
You disagree with, yeah.
Right.
The illegals.
You can't have, that's terrible.
Yeah.
The other thing was that they, I love the kids with the trash cans. So they went and they got the Rubbermaid trash cans and they cut them in half and then they put some straps on there. And then one kid had a hard hat on.
It was hysterical. I laughed so hard when they came running in. They look like some junkyard, like the Fat Albert kids, building these toy shields. It was ridiculous.
And the kid with the hard hat comes running in and he hits them.
And fucking LARPers.
Hard hat goes, yeah, it's fucking LARPers. It's exactly what they are.
They weren't even good. Yeah.
And then the cop grabs them because they rush the cop. They run into the cop. So the cop grabs and starts racing him, and they're like, let him go. Let him go. I'm like, get out of here.
Well, I love that. They busted through, and the one kid made it, and the other one like almost got it, and that cop's like, oh, no, and just hauled him back over the yellow tape. And his friend went to go back, and then when he saw the police, he's like, I'm good. You can have him. Like, I'm not helping him. You're on your own. You know, I'm like, you can't run into a cop with your little plastic Rubbermaid container shield and then expect they're going to let you go.
I would just love the huddle. Okay, we're going to do is we're going to use our shield and we're going to run through the line. Everybody ready? Yeah. There you go, running
please
down.
Don't practice for this at all.
So, and in the University of Arizona, they were suspending students. And the one of the girls there, she's crying. She's like, I was supposed to graduate, but now I can't graduate because I'm suspended. And
talk to your Hamas friends. They'll graduate you.
These are the concerts. Hop
on a plane. They have a great ceremony over there.
None of these kids have ever been told no. Have never been punished.
They're adults.
They've never been, they've never been restricted. None of this. Their whole lives, they've been told that they're wonderful, that everything they do is amazing.
Good job.
Right. Oh, it's not your fault. It's the other person's fault.
Says,
remember your Quidditch training?
I love that. Yeah. Actions have consequences. And unfortunately for these, I keep referring to them as kids because age-wise to me, they are kids, but legally they are adults. They made these decisions. And what makes me giggle a bit is when you see them now they're all becoming Muslim. So now they show these rows of kids, including these young ladies, kids, students, including these young women who are now wearing, they're covering their head and they're bowing to the sun. And I'm thinking, when you pay attention to that, there's not women with the men. They're not there. And there's a reason, because you're not permitted to be there because you're not equal.
Yeah, you're a second class
citizen.
All
these young ladies that think that this is, oh, I'm going to support them, they don't care.
Right.
They don't care what you do. They just want you there to make noise. And as soon as you start thinking you're going to convert, you're done. There's nothing that's going to, you're not going to have your free rights. I can do it. No, no purple hair, no piercings, no free rights. You can't just wear what you want. Nope. That shit changes. And they don't understand that. I think they truly don't.
Megyn Kelly came out with something which I thought was hysterical.
This president is so feckless.
Oh, I like her shirt.
Don't send your kid to Columbia. Okay. If you do, you're going to get what you know you're going to get, right? Like, you're assuming the risk at this point. You just want your child to be a far left activist who doesn't actually want to learn, but wants to preen in front of the cameras. And by the way, why are they so unattractive? I really legitimately want to know. Why are all the protesters so homely? I don't think they're unconnected. I'm not going to lie. I think attractive, smart people are not drawn to this nonsense. Oh, they're living their lives being successful. It's the unattractive and or dumb people who feel the need to do this to feel like they matter. Sorry, hard truths.
Holy fuck, that's so mean.
Right?
Well, it must be nice to be the privileged pretty people.
I'm sure. She's never had to. Listen, she's one of the privileged.
She didn't have to really hustle hard for her job, I'm pretty sure.
Well, you say that, but she was a lawyer. She does a great job. What she does is not easy.
I understand that. But again, she wasn't ugly. She didn't get hired because she was ugly.
That's true. Listen, if her eyebrow went and met, you know, her eyebrows met and she had a wart on her chin, this wouldn't happen. But, you know, these kids, once they get out of school, they're going to have to go out in the real world. Well, and what they're going to do is they're going to end up at the non-woke employment agency.
Well, so before you play that, hang on.
Yes.
So I would like to say that I am sure that not every student at these Ivy League schools feel the same way as these moron protesters who really are painting. And granted, the school has to handle this. They can't just let this shit go. But there are actually students there who really do want to get their education. They want to graduate. They want to do what they're going to do. But then this minimal percentage that shows up and wrecks it for everyone, which is always how it's been. You get the few that destroy it for everybody else. You know, now these kids who literally have gone through COVID could not have a high school promotion or ceremony. Now their graduations are canceled. Mm-hmm. Like, are you kidding? Like some of these kids, I do feel bad for them. I really do. Like, it's not fair. They got lumped into that bullshit because they qualified for, look, we went up and explored. We went up to Fordham to look at that for my youngest. And I love the New York schools. We did that. We looked at NYU. We couldn't afford it. There's no way. And she wasn't going there anyway, but it was fun to look. It was a great campus, but
well, listen, this is all the campuses. They're doing the same thing. So before I get into the non-woke employment agency, here is one of the professors. He's given a speech. He's a Jewish professor. Professor. Mm-hmm. And she's got the terrorist towel on. She's got her head covered. And she's one of the ugly people. She's fat and ugly. All right. And she's trying to ask a question.
We all can't be Megyn Kelly.
That's true. Right. But wait till you hear this, because this was so telling. What happened here? How come you're not moving? Well, maybe we're not doing it. I don't know.
Refresh it. You had it there. It was there.
I mean, I'll try refreshing it. Let's see what happens.
Megyn Kelly was also has very, very openly speaks on other people's appearances. So, and passes. There you go.
I'm a Jew.
Here we go.
The head of Hezbollah has said that he hopes that we will gather in Israel so he doesn't have to hunt us down globally. For it or against it?
For it.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and showing everybody what's here.
What a piece of shit you are.
See, she wasn't wearing a mask. Well, I gotta give her that. At minimum, she stood up. I don't agree with her, of course.
Okay, but what they're talking about genocide.
Of course.
Hamas and the Palestinians, they want genocide against the Jews.
Yes.
See, what the left does is they always say that the other person, like, in other words, they say the other person is doing what they're doing. Well, who they're against, they're doing it. Like, what they're saying Trump's doing, Biden's doing. This is the thing that they've done forever. This is what's amazing. So I want to get back to the non-woke employment agency.
Welcome to the Non-Woke Employment Agency, where we believe your employer shouldn't give a fuck what you think about anything. You're just there to do a job.
You want to make sure the new place you work is politically aligned? Nobody gives a fuck.
A safe place and beanbag chairs? Suck a dick!
Oh, ah. You're a liberal and there's conservatives in the workplace.
Your last boss did what?
He put what where?
Woo, girl, give me his number. I want to pay him for that.
You want cocktail hour? Sounds like you need the 12-step program. Step one, bye.
So what's your name? Karen? Oh, no, we got a strict no Karen policy here. Bye, bitch. This bitch about to call the police on me.
Remember, you work for them. They don't work for you. And if you have a problem with that, fuck you.
That's pretty good, actually. I have to say, I kind of enjoy that.
Yes. I've had it.
It's astounding what is expected in workplaces. Like,
so we recorded Brand X on Friday.
Yes.
And one of the things I said was, if they tried to do this shit in 1987, we would, and someone tried to step in front of people, there would have been a fist fight. Like, the problem is that these kids sit there and they stand in front of you and they don't get punched in the face. Like, in other words, if you're going to do that, you're going to get punched in the face. Although at UCLA, they did bring out bats and pipes and they were in there swinging. But I don't agree with bats and pipes. Get out there and mix it up. Just gonna have a good old fashioned fist fight. That's all. Nobody gets killed with a fist fight normally.
Well, you're bringing a gun to a fist fight, which some people seem to do.
No,
but,
no. Yeah. Jeez, I just said you don't bring any weapons, and you're like, well, they bring a gun or something. No, well, no weapons. You just go in there and you punch somebody in the face and see what they want to do then.
Okay.
That's all. I mean, it's crazy. I just trying to think. I mean, this has been played 1,000 times, but I just can't get over this girl. I mean, she is they took over, I guess it's her Jefferson parents? Hall, and she's ruined because she don't have a mask on. So they took Jefferson Hall and she's looking for humanitarian aid.
I like his belly shirt.
Oh, the guy behind her?
Sorry, folks who are listening, but yeah.
Why should the university be obligated to provide food to people who've taken over the building?
First of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
If you go to the cafeteria where the food is.
Yeah, they don't hand deliver.
They're not making you peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with a crust cut off and bringing it out to you here. Oh, well, we can't have peanut butter. Someone might be allergic to peanut butter.
Anyway, we're going to move past that snotty remark.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot. Oops. Well, it's the truth. People are allergic to peanut butter.
I know.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students.
None.
No, you just took over a building.
You broke
into
your
a
student
building.
Code. You're no longer a fucking student.
Right. You broke into a building. You destroyed the inside of the building and you barricaded the doors and the windows and all. And the police had to go in through the second floor.
Not everybody in that group, by the way, is a student. They're not obligated to feed terrorists.
Right. And that guy that if you're listening, you can't see behind him. He's got his terrorist scarf on and he's dressed like Prince with a bare midriff. If he was in Gaza, they'd have shot him off a roof by now.
They probably would have. Yeah.
Yeah. They'd have thrown him clean off a roof. But and these people, the people that are sitting here and protesting are pro Hamas, that Hamas would kill every one of them. Every one of them. Her, she doesn't have her head covered. Nitwit.
Well, she's speaking for them, so that would never even happen.
Well, we pay for a meal plan and we're not getting what we paid for.
Well, you know what? The students who are going to class and being students are being fed. You're not even at student level right now. When you bust out of your all the things that you signed to go to that school.
Definitely says throwing hands is still a great way to show how you feel. Yeah.
Didn't that building have water in it?
Of course it did. There?
What, they decided they're going to storm a building and nobody brought a fucking snack?
You think
this is the generation of fucking those 40-ounce stupid Stanleys and snacky bags all day long. You think nobody planned, because their mom didn't pack it for them.
Do you think these revolutionaries are going to drink New York tap water? Are you out of your mind?
Sorry, what was I thinking?
that's there's no way.
It didn't come from a plastic bottle.
No.
They're plastic bottles, but unless it's their water, and it's okay.
Exactly.
Rules for me, not for thee.
All right. Our girl, Christy Gnome.
What the?
Hunter extraordinaire.
Yeah.
Lives in South Dakota. She's a
queen of South Dakota.
Okay. That's right. She's here. She's got a picture of her here. She just shot herself an elk.
That's a monstrous elk.
Yes. Yeah.
Those are humongous antlers.
That's right.
That's terrifying. I'm sorry.
And she's in big trouble because she wrote a book, and I just want to know.
She likes to shoot things.
What moron told her to put in the book that she shot her dog? I mean, what does she think she is? Jody B?
Oh.
Apparently she's a better shot than Jody B.
Yeah, at least she was clean.
Here she is.
Oh, here's the
Cricket.
Dog I love.
Here's Cricket.
Oh, Cricket. Poor Cricket. Should play the Cricket noises now. Just the gunshot and Cricket, Cricket.
Wait a minute. Hang on. I think I got Cricket noises.
You can add that in post.
I don't know what I did with it. Oh, here it is. There's Cricket.
Poor Cricket.
Poor Cricket. Oh. So anyhow, all right. So here's the issue with Christy Gnome. She is from South Dakota. South Dakota people live differently than the rest of the country. They don't understand how you live. They don't understand your values. They've never went out and spent $500 to go on a pheasant hunt and have some wacky dog chase all the goddamn pheasants away because it doesn't know how to point in a two-county area. And now you spend all this money and you go home with dick and bubble gum and they're all out of bubble gum. So they don't understand that. They've never trained working dogs. They don't know what it's like when you get a retarded working dog. Apparently, like Cricket was a retarded working dog. And
Dean
Devin's
says
playing. Oh my God! Why didn't I have Devin from heaven?
Like Dean, you're gonna have to start just messaging Devin directly. Oh, here you go.
Oh. I hate it.
Mike says, Devin from heaven just put in a request for Christy to stop. He's in charge of dog shit cleanup in heaven. It's getting hard to clean.
Right.
Aww.
So.
Well, that could be Thursday. So there you go.
Right. Well, the problem is, and listen, I raised hunting beagles for years. And I've had my share of knucklehead dogs. And what we used to do when hunting season was over, which you would take the beagles and you would go to like competitions. You would put five different dogs on the ground and they would chase rabbits and they would have a point system on how, you know, how they chased the rabbit, how long they could hold the rabbit and all this. So, but I've been out hunting with people and I'm not going to lie. The first time I saw somebody shoot a dog when we were out hunting, I was like, it shook me up.
Yeah, because I don't want to see that.
We were hunting. And all of a sudden, the dog jumped a deer, and the deer went running by, and here comes the dogs. And this one dog was after it. And the other guys are trying to stop their dog from chasing the first dog that's chasing the deer, because that's what dogs like to do, especially
hunting
dogs.
So can I ask a question, because I'm not a hunter. So when you say the dog, what did he do? He jumped the deer?
Yeah, so the dogs are going along, and there's a deer laying down. And the dog smells the deer and goes towards the deer, and the deer jumps up to run away. All right, now the dog's
what they're supposed to do?
Yeah, their dogs are trained on scent. Beagles, hounds, they're trained on scent.
Okay.
But they're not supposed to run deer. They're supposed to run rabbits. But the problem with deer is they have a real strong scent, and dogs can run with their head up. They don't have to smell the ground or anything. They just run, and they can smell them.
Does it almost mean they just keep running and running and running?
Right.
They just keep chasing it, they don't stop?
Right. And the problem with a deer is, like with rabbits, they run slow and then they do a small circle so that you can actually control where the dogs are. But when they get on deer will run for miles before they try to turn around. Yeah. Right. So your dogs just run away. There's been plenty of times when I went out training my dogs at night that they got on deer and I came home with no dogs. I left with six. I came home with an empty truck. They were all gone. They all ran.
No.
Yeah. And what you do is you put a collar on them with your name and your phone number. And as these asshole dogs end up going to somebody's house, they pick them up and they call and they go, hey, you got a dog here? Yeah, I got a dog. Where are you at? And you would go pick up your dogs.
Okay.
So we're hunting, and all of a sudden this deer comes running by, and this guy's dog is in on the lead. He is on it. And that guy took and shot that dog in the head.
Oh, my God.
Ka-choo.
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Shot that dog.
Oh, I'd have just died right with that dog. There's no way you could watch that. Oh.
And so, I know, it was terrible. And I'm not used to that. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, my God. And then he picked the dog up, and he threw it in the creek.
Oh, my God, it was terrible. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was just like, that's, God damn it, that's the last time that dog running another deer. That dog just ran that deer to the Lord.
Like that.
To the Lord, that dog ran that deer. And he just threw it in the creek, and we just started hunting again. And I'm like, so I looked at my buddy, I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, yeah. Now, the dog was not okay. The dog was dead.
Mike.
The dog was dead. So the thing is that people don't understand this, because that guy had tried to train that dog and train that dog and train that dog. I'm going to tell a story here about, trying to train a dog, how to break
Dean's comment?
No.
Hang on. So Dean said, my dog left me 10 years ago and got remarried.
Oh, well, that's a different kind of dog. So one of the things they do when a dog runs deer, there's a way to try to train them where the dog will never run deer again. What they do is they put it on a cage, and the cage has a metal floor, and they hook a fence charger to the bottom of the floor.
Oh.
Right? God. And then they have a deer gland, the dog's deer gland, and they run the deer gland into the thing, and the dog comes over, and when the dog comes over to smell that deer gland, they turn on the juice. And
oh,
that dog's
God.
Flipping and flopping in there.
Fuck.
Squealing and hollering.
That's
and they
horrible.
Do this for 14 days.
Oh,
in fact,
my God.
Yes.
Those
in
poor
fact,
dogs.
By the seventh day, once the deer, like, once the gland starts to come in, the dog starts crying. And when the dog starts crying, they really lay the coals to it. So then they bring the dog out.
That's fucked.
Okay. Now, you say that, but the last time I saw a dog that was trained that way, I've never had to train a dog that way. All right.
Thank you.
I had a different way of getting rid of deer dogs. I'll tell you that in a second.
I'm afraid.
The last time I saw a dog train that way, whenever it ran deep, whenever it went past the smell of deer, it would squeal and run over and sit next to its owner. That's how you knew there was deer in the area. And if the dogs, I had a different way. In Virginia, they hunt dogs, or they hunt deer with dogs. They send a pack of dogs out there, and they hunt deer with dogs. And a buddy of mine's brother, Phil, I called him Uncle Phil. When I had a dog that I could not break off of running deer, I would call Uncle Phil. I'd say, hey, you need a deer dog? Oh, man, you know me. I always could get a good deer dog. So then I would say,
okay.
All right. Well, he lived in Virginia, so we would meet like in Maryland at a bus stop, and I would just take and give him the dog. Here, take the dog. So the one time I had this dog Flip. He was a red beagle, and that dog loved running deer. Flip, that Flip dipped, could run some deer. So I said to Uncle Phil, you want this dog? Because I can't break him. He says, yeah, I'll take him. So I give him. So I called him. I said, hey, how's Flip doing? He says, I'll tell you what, that dog can run some deer.
Oh no!
That Flip dip, he that one can come back. He fall asleep in the woods, get up and start running that deer again. He says I'm breeding that dog. That dog can run some deer. So that's what I did. I just gave it to a guy.
Did he want that though?
Like, oh yeah, yeah. That's because he had a hunting club, and guys would go to his place and they would hunt, and he would use the dogs to chase the deer around. That's how he did it. So there's different ways.
I obviously don't understand. You didn't want them to chase the deer, but this
I don't because I was a rabbit hunter.
Okay.
He hunted deer with them. Right.
Okay, understood. Never mind. All right.
Yes. So, but there's different ways of doing things is what I'm trying to say.
Well, this was obviously the dog for him.
Right.
Or as you say, the dog.
The dog. The dog. D-A-W-G. Dog.
Dog.
Correct. So this is how we trained. This is how you train hunting dogs. So that's what I would have done. I would have taken and given the dog to somebody. But she says, and I'm going to show you right now because
back to Christy. Yeah.
Sorry. Back to Christy. She doubled down. She was on Face the Nation this morning.
Well, the outrage from her doing this was so bad. So she had to go on and cover her ass.
Correct.
Or attempt to cover her ass. But go ahead.
So she's on Face the Nation, which was the dumb. I don't know. I think she just doesn't want to be vice president or whatever.
Well, not anymore.
So here she comes. She's going to come in here and explain herself.
I want to ask you again about the book. I know you know this question is coming because there's been such an enormous backlash about your revelation that you shot and killed a wire hair pointer named Cricket, who was 14 months old. You say in the book she came from another family that struggled with her aggression. You'd been training her to hunt. She got too excited, ruined the hunt, and then attacked and killed some chickens. I wonder if you have regrets about sharing this story.
You.
What do you think?
The answer should be, well, I guess, I don't know. What do you do? Like, do you claim that, I fucked up. I shouldn't have told anybody?
The thing is, she should have said,
you got to own it a little.
I could have done something different.
I wish I had done something different.
But you know,
we handled the situation better.
We were brought up that when you had a dog like this, you just took care. You didn't make your dog somebody else's problem.
Oh, Budvugger says she acted like she was shooting a pity in Philly. Oh, that was bad. That was a bad story there.
All right, Christy, what say you? Christy, there we go.
You know, Margaret, this book is filled with vulnerable, painful moments in my life.
Jesus Christ, what else did you kill?
Filled with times where I've made very difficult decisions. The reason that this story is in the book, because people need to understand who I am and some of those difficult decisions. Murder. This was a dangerous animal that was killing livestock and attacking people. And I had little children at the time. Our operation had many kids running around and people in interaction with the public. And I made a difficult choice. I think you're a mother, too, and you have little kiddos. Would you make a choice between your children or a dangerous animal? And I think I would ask everybody in the country to put themselves in that situation.
Right.
Let's go back. Now, granted, the folks listening can't see this, but there's a PR picture of her sitting in the back of her truck with an arm around this very docile looking critter leaning up against her. So it didn't look like it was about to eat her face or anything like that. So if it was that dangerous
at that point, what she said was the dog got out at her neighbor's house and started killing chickens. And it didn't just kill a chicken to eat a chicken. It killed one, saw another chicken, killed another chicken, mm-hmm. saw another chicken, killed another chicken. And when she went to go grab it, it tried to bite her.
Yeah. Because I understand bloody. That. Yeah.
But it tried to bite her. I have a story for that in a second. All right. So then she's like, listen, I had to make a decision. You know, you don't mm-hmm. take your problems and make it somebody else's problems. I took the dog down to the pit, the gravel pit, and I gave it a hot lead serenade. It died. The dog actually just died of lead poisoning. That's all.
4 or 5. Right.
Uh-huh. So then she goes on.
The reason this is in there is because I want people to know that I don't ask anybody else to take on my responsibilities. But I understood my responsibility. And as a mom, I made a choice between protecting my children and mm-hmm. protecting them from a dangerous animal that was killing livestock and attacking people. And that's the decision I made. I described,
I think, accurately how you wrote it up in the book. You didn't say the dog attacked people. You said it had tried to bite you.
Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't successful.
Oops.
If it bit me, I could have shot it. But since it tried to bite me and I got away, then I should just let the dog live and not try to bite somebody else.
Well, Christy's trying to throw a little bit extra words in there to make it look a little bit better.
Well, if the dog is trying to bite its owner, the one that feeds it, the one that's supposed to be the disciplinarian, the alpha, if that dog is trying to bite its owner, it makes it even worse.
So
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm just curious about the order of it. I don't think a dog just suddenly starts doing that. So the dog has been doing this for a while, just being aggressive. Because they don't just wake up aggressive. They are aggressive. I think that's a behavior. If that was a 14-month-old dog, that dog hadn't been well-trained at all.
Well, you start training these dogs when they're 10 weeks old. And 14-month-old dog's not a puppy. After 12,
that.
It's
it
a full
pretty
dog.
Big.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just wonder why you concluded that a young dog was untrainable and not just take it to a shelter.
This dog was a working dog, and it had come from a family that already had issues with this dog. And I had put months and months of training into this dog. This dog had gone to other trainers as well. So all of that is the facts of the story. And all of that shows that when you put someone in a position where they have to make a decision and they want to protect their family and protect children and other people from getting attacked from an animal that has attacked others and killed livestock, that's the choice I made over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And that I didn't ask somebody else to take that responsibility for me, that I had to make that decision myself.
Right, you understand that this is a working dog. And what happened was I fired it and gave it a severance package. There you go.
Did not pass go. It did not collect $200. Hey, Sparky. Sparky's joining us tonight.
Okay, so I had a dog that was a white shepherd lab mix when I was living with my redheaded menace girlfriend.
That's a big dog.
But it's not. Yeah. So anyhow.
That's a big dog.
Right. And the dog took it was a male, and we had him neutered. All right. So, but he took a shining to her, to the girlfriend. So one morning I was getting ready to go to work. And she was still asleep, and because I was in the elevator business, I was leaving at like 6:30 in the morning or 6 o'clock or whatever. I went over to give her a kiss, and when I bent down to give her a kiss, that dog attacked me, like teeth out, and attacked me, and it scared the shit out of me because I wasn't ready for it, and I ran out of the room like a bitch and slammed the door. And I'm sitting on the other side of that door, thinking to myself,
"That's not a response I would have expected from you."
Wait, right, because I was really mad at myself. So I said, fuck this. So I opened that door, and I came back in, and that dog growled at me. And I grabbed that thing by the scruff of the neck.
Punch it.
And out we went. And she's screaming, oh, my God, don't kill the dog. And the dog's trying to growl.
She just knew right away, don't shoot it.
Don't kill the dog, right? But I wasn't killing the dog. I wanted the dog to submit. And so
someone
I had it on the ground.
You're not in charge yet.
Yeah, I had it on the ground, and I'm choking this dog, and it's still trying to bite me. And I choked that dog until it passed out.
Oh, my God.
It passed out on the floor. Maybe. And she goes, you killed it. I said, it's breathing. It's fine. It's knocked out. It's going to have a headache when it woke up. So I sat there and I threw water on it. And when the dog came to, I beat the shit out of that dog.
So it woke up and you
until it ran in the other room away from me. Yeah, because I wasn't having that dog. And I'll tell you what, if that dog would not have stopped, I would have killed the dog. I wouldn't have killed the dog. I would have took it. The dog would have had to go. She probably would have left the dog because she obviously cared about the dog more than she cared about me.
Oh, at that point, maybe. Yeah.
That being said, you can't have a dog bite somebody in the family. No. You can't have that. No. It just can't. When you have a dog that's vicious like that, and that dog never, ever even lifted its lip again towards me.
I was going to say, you probably peed every time you walked by at that point.
It did pee a little bit when I choked it.
Bob goes, and that's how you teach your wife.
That's how you teach your
wife. And Buttbugger wants to know if it was a sexy choking.
No, it was not. I had scratches on my chest, on my arms. I went to work, and they're like, what the hell happened to you?
Choked that dog.
I had to choke my dog for work.
So. Say hi to Dave over on Rumble.
Dave. Hey, Dave. How's it going? Yeah. We should treat the working class the same. I agree, Dave. If you don't get your shit together, you're out of here. Take you down.
We just do that with all the protesters.
Right, but for some reason, I think she thought if she just kept repeating that it was a danger to children, that this would stop the dog. You know, this would make people come to her side. That's never going to happen.
Yeah.
And I know that people are listening to this and thinking I'm an asshole because I choked the dog.
Well,
right, I get it.
Think you're one anyway.
Right, it doesn't matter.
That might have nothing to do with the dog.
Right. Listen, dog, we need to talk. I'm the boss, and don't you forget it. Right, yeah.
There's one alpha.
Because you put it in a part of a chapter called Bad Day to Be a Goat. And then after you shot the dog, you, quote, realized another unpleasant job needed to be done. Walking back up to the yard, I spotted our billy goat. You said he smelled and would chase kids, so you took him to the gravel pit and shot him twice. How do you justify that? How was the goat a threat? And I'm asking you this because it seems like you're celebrating the killing of the animals.
Yes.
Not at all. This has been a story that my political opponents have tried to use against me for years. It's well known in South Dakota, and it has been to other people. And I want the truth to be out there and to understand that these animals were attacking my children, that we live on a farm and a ranch, and that tough decisions are made many times. And it is to protect people. And I'll tell you, the extremism of other people and how they have attacked me politically, I understand it. They're doing the same thing to me that they do to Donald Trump every day.
I'm going to shoot them too.
That's right.
Them in the gravel pit. What the fuck? She just correlated her political enemies to a billy goat.
I know. I mean, it's just...
Is that like a veiled threat? Like, better not come to South Dakota.
Now listen.
I got a gravel pit with your name on it.
The people in South Dakota are now, they love her.
They don't care.
North Dakota love her. People in Iowa, they understand. But your New York Republicans, your you know, all your people on the coast and stuff like they don't understand this kind of thinking. They just don't.
Well, some do, but I think it's, you know, she's all like, well, they're using it against me. I'm like, you're making money on it. Like she put in a book, like
it was
people
dumb.
Are going to see that. I mean, I don't know if that was her smartest move.
No, it was not. Yeah. It was not her smartest move. But again, like she's like, yeah, well,
I can handle criticism. I shoot things.
So my sister, my sister lived down in South Carolina and they bought a farm. And on this farm, they had a goat. E-I-E-I-O.
Sparky says it's okay for Dems to kill babies. That's okay. There we go.
There you go. All right. So my mom had to go down. My sister and her husband were going on vacation. My mom went down to watch the grandkids. The grandkids were like 10, 11 years old, and they took care of the farm animals, the goats and the chickens and stuff like that. Well, this goat got out, and it was chasing the kids around, and they couldn't figure out how to get the goat back in.
I don't like goats.
Right. And then, you know, they're filthy animals. They piss on themselves, and they drink their own piss.
I don't like their eyes. They're nasty. Creepy eyes.
They're nasty. Yeah. Yeah, they're really nasty, nasty fucking animals. They don't even
the little,
taste
little
good.
Ones are cute. The tiny ones.
Yeah, little tiny ones. And then when they get to be, over. As soon as they start to grow horns, you should grab them, snap their neck, and then fillet them out. And they're probably nice and tender. Yeah. I don't know.
I have a fun story about a goat to tell you when you're done.
Come on, go ahead.
I didn't want to interrupt your story.
Well, okay, so the goat got out, and and the kids were out, and the goat was chasing the kids around. And my mom, she's a mama bear. She went out in the garage and got a snow shovel, or it was like a coal shovel. It was like and she went out there, and she bonked that goat in the head. Like, she was wonking this goat, and she got the kids to go inside. You know, they went to go inside, and she was banging this goat on the head, and then they got inside. They had to call the neighbor to come over, and the neighbor came over and put the goat back in the pen again.
Sorry, Mike, I forgot you have goats. Yeah, they're kind of creepy, though. I do find them. They're cute, like, over there. I don't want them near me.
Don't get me wrong. I like, you know, Mike. I think Mike's...
I don't care.
Sorry, Mike. Yeah, but so, I just... Goats, lambs, different story, but go ahead. What's your goat story?
So my eldest daughter would rode horses for years, and she would go to this one particular farm where she would get her horse lessons, and it was a Greek family that had bought this farm and built a beautiful house. They rehabbed the barn. They created some very beautiful things there. And they raised goats, and they had some cows. So a lot of things that they did themselves. So there's at one point, like, and all the little barn girls, which were like anywhere from like 8 to 15, like there was all the horse girls. So they were like, oh my God. And they would do all this labor, manual labor. They would play with the goats. They'd feed the goats. They'd do whatever needed to be done because they just wanted to play with all the animals, the chickens and the little horses and all that, little ponies. So there was one particular goat that had a bum leg. I guess when it was born, it had a bad leg. So it kind of drag around, and the kids loved this goat, loved it. It was like the pet. They all passed it around. They played with it. They bottle fed these goats. Loved them. About a month or so later, you know, it was towards the end of the summer, and the barn owners, the property owners, had a big party at their house and invited all the students and this and that. And they had this beautiful, like, all this spread, made everything, big Greek family, big spread in the backyard, big in the house and this and that. And Moira realized, as she was like going through everything, she's like, that's goat meat. Like, it occurred to her that they roasted a goat. And then she's like, we never saw that little goat after that. And I'm like, she was like, oh my God, we're going to eat him. Like, once she realized it, she wouldn't. But it was like chicken, like all the critters on the farm, like they, you know, that's their culture as well. But
right.
It was this, I think when they realized, and she understood it, but like, I guess never experienced it. Like, oh, I'm playing with this. And then, hey, where'd that little goat go? And then like, what are we eating? It's goat. She said, she made a point to tell me, we never saw that little goat again. I'm like, well, because he wasn't going to be, he wasn't going to do anything. Like, right. He wasn't going to be a productive critter.
Off tough family. They serve broken leg of lamb.
That poor little fucker. It was a goat. But yeah, that poor little goat. It was terrible. Go ahead.
Let's bring it home. Now you think that this lady would just like kind of just try to get out of this. Not her.
Nope.
Not Christy. Nope. I got to give her one thing.
I'm gonna triple down.
She doubles down.
on this point, though, because you have been rumored to be a potential vice presidential candidate, as you know, and former House Speaker Newt Gingrich said killing the dog and then writing about it ended any possibility of her being picked as VP. You talk multiple times about it. In fact, at the end of the book, you say the very first thing you would do if you got to the White House that was different from Joe Biden is you'd make sure Joe Biden's dog was nowhere on the grounds. Commander, say hello to Cricket. Are you doing this to try to look tough? Do you still think that you have a shot at being a VP?
Did you say a shot?
Well, number one, Joe Biden's dog has attacked 24 Secret Service people. So how many people is enough people to be attacked and dangerously hurt before you make a decision on a dog and what to do with it?
Well, he's not living at the White House anymore.
That's a question that the president should be held accountable to.
You're saying he should be shot?
That's what the president should be accountable to, is what is the number? And I would say about Republicans criticizing me, these are the same Republicans that criticized me during COVID.
It's just they don't like me because I'm so effective. I'm so effective. Pretty. That's right. And as soon as I got there, whenever I saw Commander, I would just tell Cricket I said hi.
Yeah. I mean, she's not wrong. I mean, again, but the Bidens would leave that dog behind. All right. You know, we're not going to clean up and we're just, here you go, Trump, with this dog. That dog's been gone. That dog's been out on a farm. Wink, wink, in Virginia somewhere or in Delaware. He's probably hidden with some special papers in a gravel pit somewhere. That dog's gone.
Yeah.
Because he did. He bit a shit load of people. Nobody wanted to take
Sent him to the hospital, too. I can't believe a Secret Service one didn't pop a cap in its ass, to be quite honest with you.
Again, we have not seen that dog.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is that dog has probably met its maker.
Yes.
My guess, you know. And who's going to know? They parade another one out. Be like, look, here he is. Okay. It's another brown shepherd. Ooh, looks just like the other one. So it doesn't. That dog's gone. But it was very bizarre of her to really double down
and say that she would shoot the president.
I'll shoot that dog too. Like, all right, you know.
Hey, listen, if you have a vicious dog.
You got a gun.
Right. They just had a thing in Philadelphia where a bunch of dogs attacked a guy in the street.
It was horrifying.
And they wouldn't stop. And a cop came over and shot. They didn't shoot. I thought he shot every dog, but he didn't. He just shot the main attacker. And then the dog come running out and ran out in the street and fell over and did the curly from the Three Stooges. Whoop, 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 whoop.
That's a shame.
Until it stopped and died in the street. But again, you have these dogs that are out there, and this guy's just jogging down the street. Next thing you know, five dogs come out.
Yeah, that's
and
not
just, right.
I walk around all the time, and that's something
and you don't carry pepper spray or anything.
I do not. So a lot of times I'm in my neighborhood, and most driveways have cars. So if you're going to try to jump on a car before I get eaten, but it's scary. I do listen. And there's most all the dogs I have encountered have been very friendly. And of course on a leash at the park, but yeah, walk in the neighborhood. I had one that did come out that ran out at me. And I had that moment of okay, it's either going to bite me or I'm going to be able to grab it. Cause it was also running towards me while I was in the road. So I was like, well, and it stopped and just let me pet it, which was nice. And then I walked it back up to the door.
Thank God.
I know. I had that moment of well, I'm going to get bit or I'm not. So
when I was a kid, I was riding my bike. I was going to a friend's house. So I was riding from one neighborhood through to another. Mm-hmm. And I hear, oh, whoa, 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 this big dog. And I'm like, what the hell is I'm looking? And I'm riding. And I look. And here comes this Doberman Pinscher. It's got its legs over the fence. It's got a 4 or 5 foot fence. And it's coming over the top. And I'm like, holy shit. So then your first thing to do is to run, right? You want to run.
Of course.
And then the dog's just going to chase you. So I got off the bike and I just kept the bike in front of between me and the dog. The dog was trying to get me and I'm using the bike to block it and screaming and crying like a bitch. Help, help, help. And then finally somebody came out and got the dog. But I mean, yeah, you know.
The Dobermans are scared. When was this in the?
Oh, I was.
How old were you?
12.
Oh, so it's in the, 60s, 70s, right?
It was 72 or something like that. Yeah,
I'm sorry. The Dobermans are big. And
oh,
God. They were so popular in the 70s and 80s as attack dogs. So everybody had Dobermans and Shepherds, everywhere. So, and they never had a good reputation. Back in the 70s, people just let their dogs out. Bye. It would just run out. Nobody took their dog to the vet. They got a new dog.
Right. You chain them to a tree and the dog would be out there and it was your attack dog.
Yeah.
So my dad worked in Kensington, all right, back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And there was they had a lot of robberies and stuff. So my dad bought a German Shepherd. It was a big black German Shepherd, solid black. And the dog's name was Satan. Was the dog
Shadow? But okay.
So they bring the dog. Two guys from Philly bring the dog to our house, and they're there with my dad, and my dad's petting the dog and everything. So they put the chain on a tree, and they. They leave, and my dad goes out to give Satan some water, and that dog waited, like, set back until my dad got into range, and that dog lunged and attacked my dad, bit him under my dad had to go get stitches, right?
Oh, my God.
So they had to, my dad didn't want to put the dog down because he wanted an attack dog. That's what he bought. He wanted
the
an attack
dog. The dog did it, yeah.
Right. Ugh. So my uncle, Big T, Jimmy's father, they brought it, he had kennels. So they brought it over to this kennel. And my dad would have to go over there every day and feed the dog. And the only way he could get in there to feed the dog was he had like a rubber radiator hose. And he'd have to beat the dog back so he could get the dog pan. Because that dog would drag that pan to the back so he would have to come in to get it. Well, after a week of beating the dog, Satan finally...
smart, yeah.
My dad would bring a stick and try to bring the pan back. And the dog started playing with the stick. So then my dad says, okay, let's try to take this dog for a walk. So him and Big T, they put... two ropes on a dog, and they stayed apart. So if the one went for one, the other one could drag it back, you know, so they could hold it. Right. Once they got the dog where it wasn't attacking my father and it was friendly with my dad, so then my dad would start bringing the kids around. That dog fell in love with me and my sister, and nobody could do anything with it. Like my dad, if my dad yelled at me at the house, the dog would raise its, would like show its teeth and everything. Nobody could mess with us.
Awesome.
So they're at the gas station, and a young Jimmy was messing around and jumped on my dad's back. Satan came, had a muzzle on him. Satan came and bit my cousin through the muzzle.
Holy shit, through a muzzle?
Through a muzzle, and it was a metal muzzle, and he had to take the dog to the vet to have the muzzle cut off its teeth because it was all entangled in his teeth.
Oh, my God. Jimmy, what did Jimmy do? He must have shit himself.
Yeah, well, you didn't mess around with Satan anymore.
But he's like, I'm not coming in your house, man.
My dad's, his business never got robbed after Satan was there.
I can only, you know what? I have friends who had big dogs, and I was, you know, I'm 5'2"-ish, and it depends on the shoes. I might be like 5'4", and on a good day, 5'5", but that doesn't happen so much. So, you know, when there's large dogs, who don't always have good manners and they jump up, they're my height or bigger. And that is terrifying. So I'm not normally have been a fan of large dogs just because of the sheer enormity of them. I don't need an 90, 100 pound dog jumping on me just for anything. It's scary. Like, and when I was young, I had an encounter, and it wasn't a bad one, but it stayed with me with a German, a Saint Bernard, and I can't even deal with those dogs. Like, I if they come in a room, ever come in a room, I just leave. I'm like, no. But I just don't like them. But it took me a long time to get used to my eldest daughter. She has a pitty mix and a rottie mix, and they're lovey dogs. I mean, in fact, the pitty is just the big dumbest lovey dog ever. And then the Roddy's actually a little, she's very good, but she's still a scaredy dog. So she stays back, but you know, but he doesn't jump. He's very well trained, but it's still, he's all excited. So he comes up and tries to sit on me, and I'm like, you're 80 pounds, man. Like, you're a big fucking dog.
Get off of me.
My little dog, when I had Finney, he was 25 pounds. He wouldn't come near me to sit on my lap. I'd be like, please let me love you. And he's like, you know, it's like, no, he would turn around on the couch and literally sit with his ass to me. I'm like, you little turd. So, but you know, but yeah, big dogs, they have to, if they're trained, I find they're very, I like them if they're trained. I do well with them, but dogs need to be trained. You have to really do them a service and train them, your family and other people, and just random. If you just let your dog out, like that poor guy in Philly, who's just minding his own business running. And you can't do that. Those people, did that guy get arrested? Did they take him in?
The person who stole, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what happened. All I know is the cop just got out and shot it.
Yeah. How do you have five? And then this, oops, they get out. First of all, five pit bulls in a backyard.
Well, they might not have been all his dogs. They might have, you know, just been neighborhood dogs that got together. you know, and did their thing. The motherfucker says he got a ticket.
Oh, God. But, all right. Yeah. So Sparky says 5-5 with party heels on. Me or you? But probably me.
Probably both.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with Bob's a little groupie. She's
almost 5 foot. Bob says she goes
without
up
shoes. Oh, girl. I'm way taller than you. Woo!
Did you listen to any of the Howard Stern, Joe Biden interview?
I've heard snippets of it, and it's truly pathetic. Because I remember when Howard Stern was like the guy. Right. I remember when he was the I remember when he was the drive guy on WNBC.
WNBC!
I was also like 11. I probably shouldn't have been listening to it, but there was not a lot on.
So yeah. I was a Stern, you know, super fan. And to listen to what he did as far as that interview with Joe Biden, the bootlicking. Oh, the
shame on him.
So I wanted, and again, it's been done by everybody, but today I was listening to Who Are These Podcasts? And they are not a political podcast whatsoever, but they could not stop themselves from the shit that's going on here and the bootlicking that all these celebrities are doing with Joe Biden to make him sound like he should be, should vote for him. Now, I think that if you vote for Joe Biden, you should be ashamed of yourself just because it's elder abuse.
It's just Joe Biden.
Yeah, he cannot do this for another 4 years. I'm sorry, I missed that. So two items below the donut on the wall behind is a it's Wawa related. Duchess sent me a Wawa cup. It's
back it's for the anniversary. The 60th
anniversary. I'm 2 years older than Wawa, believe it or not. Oh yeah, see, she's got a
award winning.
Right. So
just a little better.
Yeah. So, Howard, so I have two things here from Howard. They're short clips. Shh,
disgusting.
The
pandering. Ugh.
So this one here, I wanted to throw up when I heard him say this.
I want to.
Whoops. Why don't I bring it up for everybody to see? So here he is.
All right.
Thank you for doing this today. I want to thank you for your compassion. You know, the reason I'm so excited to talk to you was because I wanted to understand the tragedy in your life and how you dealt with it. And you're the kind of leader I love because we're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country. Because if you're a good father to your family, which you are, I know you'd be a good father to the country. And I.
Good father to your family? You got one son's a crackhead that you've been sending around to do your dirty work. And
you
were showering. You're showering with your daughter where she's all fucked up on drugs and shit. She had to go to rehab. She wrote a diary about how you used to shower with her. You're a sick, perverted old man.
The way he spoke, it was so reverent. Like, thank you so much.
Oh,
like,
you're going to be a
good
father.
Who are you?
Yeah, good father. You're fucking the country like you fucked your kids, to be quite honest with you. He's right. You know, if you can tell what kind of father the guy will be, you can tell how he's going to be, you know, as what he's going to do to the country.
Disgusting. Yeah, shame on Howard Stern.
I know.
And I want to thank you for providing a calming influence, an organized administration post-COVID, getting that vaccine out. I remember what the world was like at that point.
The one Trump pushed out.
Getting NATO, getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin.
Standing up to Putin? Mm. He invaded.
He's kneeling down and taking in the ass from Putin.
He invaded Ukraine. Biden said, don't. And
Putin said, do.
Yeah. Shut Bye. Up, Joe. Go sit down. Go change your diaper. I'm going in. Yeah, it's just the shit. The lies. It's just one lie after another.
The incredible large growth in the jobs, unemployment rate down. I'll give you your greatest hits. The lowest uninsured rate in history. 4 out of 5 Americans are covered for less than $10 a month. Knocking off a few ISIS leaders. Cutting the emissions in half. I mean, you've always been an environmentalist. Even the marijuana reform laws, enough with sitting there and fighting that battle. Respect for Marriage Act. What the hell is with people with this gay stuff? Who cares if someone's gay? How is it affecting anybody? People in love, it's good, right? Love is good.
My dad.
The man who threw cheese at hookers.
What's this?
Didn't he throw bologna and cheese on hookers?
No, he had other people throw bologna. Like, what they did was they put mayonnaise on bologna and they would throw it at strippers' asses, naked strippers' asses. Right.
Okay.
You know, and nobody what's the word for disparaged women more than Howard Stern?
Oh, for a shit ton of money. Sparky says Howard Stern is a victim of his environment. Yes.
He is. In other words, he's got all this money, and now he wants to be with the rich and famous. And the only way to do it is to take this tech. And this is what makes me sick to my stomach, is that he's just sitting there pandering and flat out lying. And he's caught so much backlash from this. So they're still talking about it now. And they're like, well, this was a white. And they're like, oh, yeah, the White House didn't tell us what we could ask and what we couldn't ask. Yeah, because they knew you were going to lick his balls. Like, you're in here lathering him up. Jesus Christ, I've never seen a man fillet another man the way this guy, Howard Stern, is filleting Joe Biden.
It's impressive.
So that's the one part.
This would have been the end of Howard Stern's career. But if you think of the start of his career,
right,
and to this point, well, first of all, who would ever think you'd be interviewing a president? Like, that's insane. Like, but this kind of thing, I don't even know what to say. Like, who the fuck is this sad old DJ now?
He is Don Imus. He's the guy he made fun of when he came on the scene. Don Imus is him now. So, and again,
Don Imus went out on saying something stupid.
Well, so, and now he hates Donald Trump when he was Trump's buddy
Yeah.
Okay. So here's his advice to debate Trump.
Can I tell you a fantasy I had? I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know where. I'm happy to debate him.
There's no way they're going to let
him. The energy. I'm happy to debate him. Oh my God.
Biden.
You should put him in a cage like you did with your dogs and zap it.
Trump. Trump will wipe the floor with Biden in a debate. It's not even going to be close. There's no way that they can allow this debate go on.
Thought Fetterman would lose to Oz in that debate, and he won. So I'm just saying.
Did he? He couldn't even.
Fetterman won. Fetterman won the seat in Pennsylvania.
Won the election. He didn't win the debate.
Right. Well, no, but the whole point is he looked like an absolute fool, and Oz didn't even go nuts on him. So who knows how people will vote? You could have Oz, absolute shitty.
Yeah. Oz was very complimentary to Fetterman and did not attack him.
Do
you think Trump's going to do that?
No, well,
Trump's going to go for the jugular. So here's how he would handle it.
This is how I would handle it. Tell me if I'm nuts. Well, I am nuts, but tell me if this is accurate. I would stand there on stage with Trump and I would repeat over and over again, excuse me, please find me 11,000 votes so that I can win the election. I would just repeat that over and over again. And then I'd say to the audience, what are we debating? A man picked up the phone and wanted to say, fake the election, give me 11,000 votes. I don't know how any American who loves this country, that's the end of the debate. You don't get to run if you're going to fix an election.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
Joe Biden created jobs? Yeah, because people don't have enough money. They need a second job or a third, like a podcast arena. You just got to work.
Yeah.
Get the same money coming in because inflation, which isn't a thing, apparently that's not happening, but people just want to work more.
Sirius Satellite Radio is in serious trouble right now.
You know what? Good. Fuck.
Over the first quarter, subscribers have dropped 445,000 subscribers compared to the same time last year. So, and now he makes, I forget, like $100 million and he works 3 days a week. He only has to work 100 days a year, Howard Stern. He takes the whole summer off and he works 3 days a week. So, yeah. Sorry, Howard. Just go off into the sunset. You're not relevant anymore. You're just not. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know, and that's funny because over on Rumble, Wycon Rob says Howard Stern is irrelevant. And you need to have more than two candidates debate. So you may as well throw in RFK. Why not?
Right.
It's just going to make Biden look worse. And honestly, I do believe that people are going to vote. They're not going to want to vote for Trump.
I've been thinking that really.
But they definitely, but they can't vote for Joe. Like they just can't. So they're going to vote for RFK. I think RFK is going to take enough votes. That's my prediction, is he's going to take enough votes from Joe, kind of like how Ross Perot took votes from Bush, although Bush didn't help himself much. I think that's what's going to happen.
Well, we also have them now licking the boots of Kamala Harris.
Oh, her pantsuited queen. God.
So here we have Drew Barrymore on her show.
Like her. She's like, oh, she's kind of dumb, but she's fun, right?
Yeah, okay. So here she is. She's kissing Kamala Harris's ass.
I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
Stop. Stop that. Oh, my God. And those idiots in the audience. Oh, God, yay.
Yeah. Well, that's what I...
Oh, you just hear... that is, you know what? That is so fucking... I'll say that as a woman, that's so fucking insulting. Of course, she hasn't really done anything that you can speak upon. But the fact, like, we just need you to be everybody's mom. She's not even a fucking mom.
She's right. Does she?
Right?
Yeah, she has a daughter. I think she has
a daughter. Well, but it's the husband's daughter, right? Did she have a daughter?
I think she has a daughter, yeah.
Okay, either way, whatever.
Like Sparky Toaster said, I just threw up in my mouth.
That clip, when I saw that, because I put that up on the board, I was out of my mind. I'm like, first of all, just like, yay, women power, women in politics. We need you to be a mom. Not that being a mom isn't great, this woman is a vice president. And we just need you to give everybody hugs and
I mean, country needs a hug now because your administration has fucked this royale. And we need somebody to hug us after we got fucked.
I don't even know what to say that. Like, that's not why you vote for somebody. I mean, maybe for some people it is, I guess. Like, you know, I am so very much want to see who the VP is.
Oh, I would too. VP pick is. You know who I want. You know who I'm rooting for.
Oh, and then I could put Vivek in. You can wish all you want. That moron ain't getting there. Run the convenience store in the store.
Not him. It's a her.
Oh, you want Tulsi?
Tulsi Gabbard. Yes.
I think she's in there. I think she's in the mix.
I really do. I believe it. So you talked about RFK, and he was on Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gaining steam.
He is. Even though half his family ain't backing him, but.
Right, well, they're retards anyhow.
Well, I mean, they're Kennedys. They're inbred.
Right. They're inbred retards. All right, so he's on with Jesse Kelly, and he's coming up with the, so they're talking to him, Jesse Kelly. Jesse Kelly,
right?
Jesse
Kelly?
Isn't that who it is?
No. I literally just blanked in it. It's Megyn Kelly.
Megyn Kelly, Jesse, what's his last name?
What
Jesse
is his
something.
Last name now? He just broke me. It ain't Jesse Kelly. No.
Not Jesse Kelly?
Why do I not know it?
Jesse Walters. Is that right?
Thank you. Yes, Walters. Jesse Waters, thank you.
All right. So,
watching on the five every day.
Thanks, Bob. You're my favorite podcaster, Bob.
Thanks, Bub. Thanks, Bub.
All right. So he's talking to RFK, and their campaign has went out and done some polling. What do you hear this?
We're hearing that the Biden legal team is throttling you guys by the throat. What's the truth?
You mean my campaign?
Yeah, I heard they're blue.
I mean, we released a poll today. We did, Jesse, the biggest poll that's ever been done, and at least in this presidential campaign. A typical poll has 2,000 people in it. We did a poll of 26,000 people. The poll is a value of about $200,000 to $500,000. So we did every state. What that poll shows, if I go head-to-head with Biden, I win 39 states, he wins 11. If I go head-to-head with President Trump, I win. If I'm in the race, in a three-way race, I lose because people are voting out of fear because they think the other guy, you know, a vote for me is gonna put somebody they hate in office. But if I go head-to-head with either of them, I win.
So if one of these guys drops out or doesn't run, Joe Biden or Donald Trump, RFK Jr. will be president.
That's right.
According to your polling.
Yeah, but, you know, and all the polls that have done a two-way race have shown the same thing. I would challenge anybody. Our poll has virtually a zero margin of error. Oh, anybody who does that poll will end up with the same results. I beat Biden in a landslide, and I beat President Trump narrowly in the Electoral College. Oh, and that's really what you want to look at, the Electoral College. But I win them. I beat them both in the General Electric and in the Electoral College.
All right. So now what? If you're the Democratic Party, do you want Trump or do you want JFK?
Oh, JFK is independent. They're not going to back
RFK,
him.
Not JFK. RFK Jr.
Whatever. You know, the Kennedy.
Right.
So they're not picking him.
No.
They're not. I mean, he's independent. And the convention, I suppose the convention is still is coming up, I suppose. Right? Can they even just swap it?
No. It's
done. Same it's already chosen.
It's like throwback to 1968.
Yeah.
They're having all this.
I'll be tuning in.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be
a riot in front.
Shit show.
They're going to have the National Guard out there.
Absolutely.
It's going to be, and Chicago's a shitstorm to begin with. So, I mean, on a regular day.
You'll know if Trump's worried, if he goes all in on RFK Jr. Ah,
it's your turn to get onto the T&A.
They don't want me. They want
you. He just invited you.
I know he did. Rude. He's just being nice. You did a good job when you were on the the T&A podcast.
They were fun.
You did. Yes. And you know what? I would love to have, I know they're not a political show. I get that. And to me, listen, I'm just an old man sitting here yelling at the
old man.
Yeah, I'm just a grouchy old man yelling about shit that I just can't understand anymore. And I don't care. And the thing is, I don't care. If people like me or not. I don't care. I mean, don't get me wrong. I am honest that I am, and I'm not. But I, you know, if you don't like my political views, that's fine. You can have your own political views. I think it's, you know, everybody's allowed to be who they are. They're allowed to be wrong.
Sparky says, get off my lawn.
That's me. Absolutely. I've been sitting so long, my back's starting to hurt. Anyhow.
At least you're not full of poop anymore. So.
Yeah, thank God. But yeah, you did a great show. And I'll tell you one thing about the TNA podcast. They have a lot of...
A lot of lady fans
over there, and very attractive lady fans over
there.
They
share quite, I know. I'm like, oh, they're so cute. And then some of the stories they tell, I'm like, I called in, I'm like, I can't.
Now you're not going to get any sex stories. You're not getting any sex stories out of
it. I know, I'm the boring call. But they were very nice and entertained my boringness, so thank you.
Right, you get more sex stories out of me, but who wants to hear that? Nobody wants to hear this. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a shit show for the next couple of months there. But I would like to start a new segment, and we actually did this with super producer Mike Pellerito. Pellerito. God damn it. Why can't
Pellerito.
I say
Pellerito.
I know.
It's your fat, lazy South Jersey tongue.
Right. Oh, also, I almost forgot, and I think this is it, but we got some feedback. We had someone call into the, send me a audio feedback. So tell me who you think this is.
Hey there, John. It's Greg from some random syndicated morning show in Grand Rapids. Wanted to chime in and say I love your show. It is truly one of my secret pleasures. I wish Bob would come back someday, but he died, so I understand that probably won't happen.
Oh, dear.
You and Duchess are killing it. I really like it when you lean in on that glass house, shallow fuck of a fuck, Eric Zane. I hated working with him. He was such an arrogant ass. I heard he wants to fight me. Eric, you don't want to do that. You'll be too busy painting lines, flipping burgers, wheeling and dealing forever, fighting to stay out of the red until you keel over to bother fighting with me.
Huh?
Anyways, I really like what you guys are doing there. You guys are all right. Appreciate you much and can't wait to listen on Thursday. I must get back to my money now, so I must bid you all adieu. Oh, and Eric, if you're still listening, go get me my fries, bitch.
Order up. Holy shit. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. What a great message.
It is a great message. I really appreciate that.
So Jason says your views and his are similar.
Well, let's go. Again, I just... Well,
I know. They just make it. That's just not what their fans are into.
It's very...
Just by why all the ladies call in and tell
it's very polarizing. Very polarizing.
Yes.
When you talk about politics, which is fine. I honestly, God, if you're a Joe Biden supporter, you're too stupid for this show anyhow. You're just about a moron. Bob says, order up, ding. All right, so we're going to get a new segment for the show, see if this works out.
Oh, dear.
What I have here is I have, out of context, well, let's play the...
It's Boomer Bunker out of context.
I'm out of lube.
keep going.
Super producer Mike Pellerito has plucked little nuggets of audio gold from past episodes for your listening pleasure.
I don't get fucked by goats.
Not sure.
I fuck goats and don't take a gerbil on my ear. Right. Please get it right.
Strap in, bitches.
All right. So Mike went, and I have no idea what he sent me. He just numbered them. And I load them on a board, and I haven't listened to them.
Oh, no. Okay.
So we have some Duchess ones, and we have some Jamingo ones.
Oh, boy.
So I'm just going to go for one, and I figure that we'll go with Duchess first. So here's the first Duchess out of context.
Oh, no. Black trash.
Black trash.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
All right. Here's Jamingo's first. Drag queens. This is what we're going to do. Oh, okay. Duchess.
There was a cigar involved.
Oh.
I don't even want to talk about that.
Come on, Jews. We got to go. Come on, Jews. We got to go.
He's another youngin'.
Oh. All right.
Oh, dear.
$900 to have a guy come on your butthole.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
I don't know if that's a good or bad price, to be honest with you.
It's a little, well, disposable, like women and children. Oh, that's so bad. That's so wrong.
All right, here we go. Oh, no. We want to see the Duchess. Oh, good Lord. That was when I was talking about the TNA podcast. Yeah, that little, was true.
You can back it up a little bit.
Oh, back that ass up. I have to say that Buzz Aldrin landed on the moon.
Oh, thank you. Mike Obama fooled the nation into thinking he's a chick. Mike Obama fooled the nation into thinking he's a chick.
Okay, I got it. Oh, no. That one didn't work. We will keep killing as many Jews as we possibly can. You're going to keep killing as many Jews? Okay.
Sounds like that pup.
You know, I always get a stiffy on a Friday night. Well, that does happen sometimes. Being my age.
No.
Get to the fucking point!
That's you every time.
I got to pull that one. That's a great one. Joe Biden is the best thing since sliced bread. Oh, come on. Come on. That's not fair. A stone cold window licking retard. Oh, okay. Then our final. Not in the face. Just shoot the goo on my boobs. Aim for the tits. All right.
There's so many of you in there.
You might.
That's so good. Oh.
All right. Here we go. One of the last, let's find out what's going on with the Duchess, the 2024 miles in 2024 challenge.
Yeah.
Her and Josh, you're kicking ass.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Let's see here.
Guys are coming up on halfway.
Yes. So since this was Thursday's statistics, the numbers are a little different. I am at 747 miles and Josh is currently at 884. But he did send in his April recap, so I'd like to read that. So he says, "Hi, all. Since I last checked in, the Duchess got herself a walking pad to run me down and checked off another state. Today, she finds herself in the middle of corn country just outside of Springfield on famous Route 66. Grabbing dinner at a small diner known as the Cozy Dog Drive-In, which is the birthplace of the corn dog. Did you know that 85% of the prairie state is covered in fields, most of which grow corn? I know John likes to give her hell about being so far behind, but she closed the gap by 50 miles this month. I know it sounds corny, but I think she's doing amazing. Shucks, some of you are probably thinking I'm just trying to butter her up, and there just might be a kernel of truth to that."
Oh, look at him. I like that.
He continues, "Due to being laid up as long as I was in April, I had the ability to check out the Holland's Tulip Festival I've heard so much about." That's in Michigan. Says, "Fellow listener Adam turned me on to his favorite radio station a few weeks ago, but personally, I can't stand the new morning guy. I caught myself a ferry across Lake Michigan, and I'm in the small town of Waterford, Wisconsin. I do not have any military background, but knew I needed to have a pint with some veterans at the local VFW known as the Bunker. Unsurprisingly, not a lot of Biden fans here, but I did eat my weight in cheese curds. That's all for now. Keep walking on.
Well, good luck with those cheese curds, because they can bind you up from what I understand.
John speaks from experience about being bound up.
I do speak from experience. Alrighty. I have two things to talk about, and I'm not 100% sure where we get into this. Now, listen, I like to make fun sometimes when I say that, you know, teachers, you know, sometimes when you get female teachers, they end up with a, you know, a male student like 15 or 16. I always say, you know, is that really a crime? And it depends on how hot they are.
Well, don't you rate the crime based, again, like you said, based on the hotness.
On the hotness, yes. Yeah. Now, here we have Reagan Gay. She's a teacher who has been arrested for allegedly sexually abusing a 15-year-old boy she met in Arkansas. The church once frequented by former President Clinton, bombarding the teen with nude photos even after an earlier investigation, according to a report. Yeah, no. She did. Reagan Gay, 26, was nabbed earlier this month after it emerged that she had allegedly been assaulting this boy since 2020. That's right. When she was working as a volunteer at the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Little Rock.
Wow. So how old was this boy?
He was 15 years old.
And this was 4 years ago. Was the 4 years ago. First?
Yeah. Wait a minute. It was 4 years ago. So he's 19?
Oh.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. The boy's parents discovered a slew of text messages on the son's phone at the time and reported Gay to the senior pastor at the church. Gray, who also worked as a teacher at the Little Rock Christian Academy, was briefly removed from her volunteer position while undergoing counseling after allegedly telling church leaders the relationship wasn't physical.
Pray the inappropriate away. Okay.
Yes, that's right. Stop fucking little boys.
Touching little boys. Okay. She's good.
Then authorities got involved this February when it emerged that Gray had been exchanging messages with the teen via Snapchat. During the interview with federal agents, the boy alleged that Gray had given him oral sex. Yeah, he did. But they didn't have intercourse, so he could stay pure.
Oh, that's how it works.
Right. The alleged abuse, which occurred nearly a dozen times, took place in Gray's car or apartment. The subsequent interview with the FBI, church leaders admitted Gray had confessed last year during counseling sessions that the relationship was sexual.
All right, the comments.
All right.
Oh, Dingo, damn, I plow her. Bob says, that's not saying much. And then Bob also wants to know if she gave him the holiest of holes.
No.
But apparently not, because he's still. Right. And then he said he covered her with. Oh.
With what? Holy spunk.
And then Sparky says, Snapchat.
Snapchat.
And then she pegged him so he'd remain a virgin. She's considerate.
Right.
He wants to stay pure. So.
The church leader resigned from his position earlier this month over the handling of the allegations. Meanwhile, Gray, who was working at a Sylvan Hills Middle School for more.
He's hiring her.
Right. Has placed on administrative leave in February.
Oh, my God.
All right. So that's bad.
Is that the top of a resume? Pegs little boys or
catches little boys. Kids. Yes.
Handles little boys.
This lady right here, let me introduce you to 24-year-old Wisconsin elementary school teacher.
Oh, my God.
Madison Bergman. She was arrested for having a 3-month affair with a 5th-grade student.
Ew. Okay.
An 11-year-old. Now, listen, I said before that, but 11
years old.
It's
only half her age.
It's 11. Come on.
I'm sorry. 11-year-old boys still have high. Their voice still is higher than girls. Stop. There's nothing that you can look at an 11-year-old and be like, that's hot.
The victim's parents, and this kid's a victim, allegedly found text between the pair. The boy's father then stormed into the elementary school with printouts of the conversation.
God bless him. I'd have beat deranged, the fuck out of that woman.
The deranged text change included messages from Bergman allegedly discussing multiple encounters inside the classroom during lunch and after school. She is also accused of telling the child how much she enjoyed touching, how much she enjoyed him touching her and making out.
Oh,
the charging document stated.
That she's a pedophile.
That's a pedophile. I mean, right.
It's not really appropriate when you. This is just completely inappropriate. That is disgusting. She needs to go to jail.
Inside her bag, police also found a folder. Yes, with a with the victim's name on it, containing many handwritten notes
in crayon,
talking about how much they kissed one another.
Oh God!
In one of the letters, Bergman allegedly wrote, "One of my cousins is in fifth grade. I can't imagine a man talking to her how we talk. I know we have a special relationship, and I do love you more than anyone in the world, but I have to be the adult here and stop." It's not clear how long the abuse had been going on, but Bergman told investigators she was given the boy's phone number by his mother in December when his family invited who they thought was a beloved teacher with them to a Afton Alps for winter break. This was the same month.
The family invited her along?
Yes. This was the same month she became engaged to her longtime boyfriend.
Oh, no.
According to the documents, when the officers asked about the text exchange between the two, Bergman invoked her right to an attorney. Oh, no.
Oh. This is all so disgusting. She's going to jail.
The accused pervert has since been placed on administrative leave and barred from contacting any district students, parents, or staff. Learning about the school staff member and alleged inappropriate conduct that breaches trust is deeply troubling for all of us. According to her social media, Bergman was set to be married in July, less than three months from when she was arrested, where she wrote, "Can't wait for school to start."
I bet. Looking for a new victim. I mean, a friend.
She's released on $25,000 signature bond. So, yeah.
Well, there's someone whose parents are proud.
Oof.
Now I got to sign over my fucking house.
11-year-old. Jeez.
That's disgusting. That's so gross.
I know.
And it's got nothing to do with looks. I mean, 11.
Right. How hot can you be at 11?
You're not. Nobody's hot at 11.
Right. But I'm just saying.
But I mean, I can. The problem is you can't keep putting, my thing was you can't put young teachers in with high school kids, but apparently that one you can't put with any kid.
Anybody. Yes.
Anybody. But I mean, I can see it. I don't accept it. But when you got like 17, 18-year-olds, like, and then you got like a 25, 26-year-old student teacher it's not right. But I can see it. At least they're more adult. I mean, that kid hasn't hit puberty.
Nope.
That's horrifying.
Right.
Oh my God, I can't.
All right.
What's wrong with? She's engaged. What is the? Well,
I don't think she's engaged anymore.
Not anymore. I'm pretty sure that fiance. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's... the fuck out of here, kid toucher.
Bob says 50% of people are pedos. Not me. I just live next to this hot little 10-year-old.
I wouldn't even read that out loud. Now there's a drop for you, Mike.
There you go. All right, everybody. Thank you for hanging out with us.
for our impromptu Thursday, or Thursday now moved to Sunday.
Sunday, this week. Yeah, we'll be back unless, you know, something else go wrong with me by Thursday, since I'm dying.
Here you go. Sparky says, all my teachers were old and ready to retire. I wasn't this lucky.
No.
Within quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I know that when I was in ninth grade, I had such a crush on my homeroom teacher, and she was like 25. She just got out of college. It was her first teaching job. And she was smoking hot.
So I should not have been working with you guys.
There was nothing wrong. I mean, she was fine. I mean, like, in other words, she didn't do anything inappropriate.
No, I know, but all you guys are probably like,
oh, of course we were.
Sniffing around the dog and eat.
Absolutely. I'm sure there was a lot of stiff socks on the floors in the township over her.
My God. That's disgusting. What is it with you guys in socks?
I don't know. I just made it up. I don't know.
No, I don't think you did. That came out way too naturally.
All right.
John's like, anyway.
Anyway.
I don't want to know. I don't get it, but whatever.
All right. What we are going to do in the next couple of weeks is we're whittling down where we will be live. We were going to be on Twitch. We're going to be on X. And I think we're going to be on Rumble. And that's it. Yeah. We're, you know, for Kick and all those losing other places, yeah. We're losing Kick. And I think we're losing Facebook too. I don't know. We'll see.
You know, as we're trying to, it helps. So statistic wise and traffic wise, it helps to drive everybody to one place.
Yeah, because I mean, there's some stuff over here that I'm looking now that I wasn't paying attention to on the Thursday, Rumble chat. And where
I've been watching Rumble.
Yeah, why Conrob said RFK mm-hmm. Jr. and Tulsi would have been the best option. I'll tell you right now, if those two were on a ticket, I would vote for RFK Jr. over Trump. Because I'm a big fan of Tulsi Gabbard. I have been. She was on Joe Rogan, mm-hmm. and then she was on Tucker Carlson. And I'm just sorry. She's just an amazing person. She's somebody
selling that her book now, too, by the way.
Yeah. I'm still want someone that I would want to run this country. There's someone that I believe has this country's best interest in heart.
She seems to have some sense.
Exactly.
More than some of the others that are on there. But I mean, who do you think is in the pool? Well, I've heard a few names. I've heard Vivek, which I don't think is going to happen at all. I've heard, of course, I've heard Marco Rubio.
But
I'm telling you what I've heard.
I know. I don't like that.
Considering he calls him Little Marco all the time, I'd find. Mm-hmm. Then DeSantis, Tulsi. No.
I don't think it can be.
The guy from that Doug, is it Borgum?
Bergdrum?
Is in the mix. Yeah.
First of all, it can't be Ron DeSantis because you can't have the president and the vice president from the same state.
Someone has to change their residency.
Right. Well, he's the governor, and since Trump's not going to go back to New York.
Well, then it could be Trump. He could change his residency. It's just a piece of fucking paper, right?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's a good VP pick. I don't think he's a good VP. Dean wants Lauren Big Tits Boebert. Now,
yeah, she'll be out of a job soon enough.
Yeah, she's on her way out.
She's done.
No, I honest to God, I think Tulsi would be the best.
It gets him a market that he didn't originally have.
Right.
You know, and I think when he had, who was the previous vice president? Pence. When he had Pence was so, so ultra conservative. I think, I don't know. I didn't care for him either. I think he was just so far right for me. Like it was just so far.
I have a feeling someday, and this is just allegedly what I think, that maybe Carrie Lake, get out of here. She's not.
No way.
I heard I heard Trump's sick of her because she's always hanging out at Mar-a-Lago. She can't get her out of the place.
Over there.
Right. Pence is a backstabber. I'm telling you, I have a sneaking suspicion he might be a closeted gay man. I don't know. Just a hunch. I have no proof. Not saying anything.
Well, just a mother.
Just a hunch. Mother? Yeah, him and mother.
I feel what the roles you see outside may not be what the roles are inside.
Bob says Trump Domingo 2024.
There you go.
That would be horrible. You know what I would love to see? I would love to see Tulsi Gabbard.
Yes, we know.
No. Debate Kamala Harris. She would tear her from limb to limb.
That Kamala. That makes me wild. I'm so... Like, I'm seriously offended by that. Like, I'm just more like, Drew Barrymore, what the fuck? That's the best you could come up with? Oof. Vice President. Well, I couldn't ask her anything because what has she fucking done?
Nothing.
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 She just cackles and wears pantsuits and talks about stupid buses and... Okay.
Bob says Pence wears a condom to jerk off.
Sparky says he wears sandals with socks. I don't think he even wears sandals. I think it's just... Like everything is just like uptight. I think it's all closeted.
Right.
Maybe he had a fifth grade teacher. It was a little handsy.
What was his name?
You can be.
What was his name? All right, everybody. We will be back Thursday night, 7 p.m. We will definitely be on Twitch, Rumble, and what was the other one? Twitch, Rumble. I don't know.
X.
Stay tuned to our social media.
Jesus.
And we'll figure. Look, it's been a long day.
Sparky got it. He's paying attention.
X kick.
We're gonna kick.
We're going to kick. There we go. That'll be it. So kick. All right, everyone. We'll talk to you later.
Oh, are we going to Discord?
Yeah, let's go to Discord.